The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You know, sometimes we get things come in our life that we don't appreciate, we don't want. It's not fun, it's not pleasant.
Next, James and Betty discuss the spiritual condition of the world after recent events.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if right now, in the midst of all this pressure, we would actually come together and allow His will to be done through His body, through His family, for His glory. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. I know we have been told now for some time that distance from one another is very wise. Anytime there's any kind of a infectious or contagious disease or virus going around. And one of my friends said, you know, one of the things we may find that with all we've learned about trying to protect ourselves from somebody else's issue could be actually saving thousands of lives from just the normal flu or some other problem. And if we practice these habits of just trying to be wise, not fearful, but just wise, it may really save a lot of lives. And I tell you what, Betty, we may learn better how to love each other and treat one another as a family. I want to say this to you, and I really want you to hear it. If ever I could just kind of, you know, slide in, say, at the table or in the room, wherever you are, I might say hotel room, or could have said you're at some club somewhere, or even a bar. But we don't even know how long you'll be able to go or not go. And it looks like maybe things could turn rapidly. To God be the glory. But if I could just get real close and say, would you give us this week just to come together with all my heart, I believe, in the presence of God. And I would like you, even if you have to get up and go grab your Bible and grab a notepad, I'd like you to really track with us in the Word of God, because I'm going to tell you what I believe I'm hearing as I pray and what I've seen in the Scripture. But I want you to be like the Christians in Thessalonica that the New Testament writers talked about, searching the Scriptures every day in the book of Acts to see if those things are so. That might have been in Corinthians, as a matter of fact. But anyway, it was the Christians in Thessalonica that searched the Scriptures. So I want you to be able to do that. Betty, I believe God is going to speak to everyone watching us today, and I believe He's going to flood you with an understanding of the time, the situation, the challenges, the pressure, and the opportunity as clearly as you could ever long for it to come. And I believe it's going to be coming in so many ways from the Word of God, from the heart of God. And I hope you'll really stay with us all week. If you miss some of it, you may be able to DVR the programs or record them, or you can easily watch them online, lifetoday.org. But I really want you to move into the presence of God with us, because I think this is a critically important week for every one of you that want to know, what does God want us to learn through all the challenges we face in life? What would you like to say to our viewers today?
You know, sometimes we get things come in our life that we don't appreciate, we don't want. It's not fun. It's not pleasant. When I've had those times that come into my life, it's kind of like a pause. And I've thought, God, okay, this has come on me. What do I do with it? How can I turn this around? God, how can you turn this around in my life to good? What can I learn from it? And I hope this is what you'll get from the teaching that James is fixing to do right now. You just take a pause and say, God, what do you want to say to me? You know, many times we say, God, do you hear me, God? Do you hear me, God? I need this. I need that. And we ever pause very often to say, God, what do you want to talk to me about? What do you want me to hear from you? So I hope you'll take this time to say, God, what do you want to say to me?
Father, I pray that you will lay it on the hearts of everyone who just heard Betty's request as mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, that sure loves her family and she loves everybody's family. That they'll take it real serious and say, okay, speak to me. And then, Lord, let us be ambassadors of your life and your truth and your love. So you really speak to us through this time. And we ask you to take care of all the health care providers, all the first responders, all the people who need comfort because they've lost someone they loved or somebody's in a battle. Lord, we ask you to just reach out with miraculous healing and peace. And Lord, flood them with a comfort that can only come from you. And give those who are working to assist anyone who suffers in any way or needs protection, give them supernatural protection and strength. And we thank you for everyone, and we thank you for our armed service members and all of their families. And Lord, we ask you to give them a supernatural peace and comfort and direction. We ask you to give our national leaders supernatural wisdom that you freely offer. And Lord, please, help us together as your family and the body of Christ to get your arms around all the people you gave your son to redeem. In Jesus' name. I hope perhaps you hung on that last phrase in that prayer. That as the family of God, through which God always wanted to bless all the nations and all the families of the world, that's been our Father's desire. And he says, as believers, born from above of the Spirit into Christ, we are his body. And we can reveal him as he is, like the shining city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Wouldn't it be wonderful if right now, in the midst of all this pressure, we would actually come together and allow his will to be done through his body, through his family, for his glory, and the benefit of everyone he gave his son to redeem. All things work together for good. Now think about that a moment. You say, James, you and Betty, you lost a daughter. Yes, we did. Most painful experience, I'm told, by many who've experienced many different types of painful experiences, that's the heaviest, perhaps. We also lost our first grandson, a little stillborn baby. Remember so well, Betty, around Christmas season with the little wicker basket, little casket. Our daughter Rhonda held that beautifully shaped little baby boy, stillborn, too early. And she said, I didn't know him very long, but sure did love him. You know, we all have painful experiences that we think, how could anything good come out of? You realize that in the last years now, we have watched the destroyer, the deceiver, the murderer, lose a lot of ground that he took. He downplayed the importance of God's word and his truth, even changed it into a lie. That's what the enemy did. Because salt, the life and influence of believers, lost the proper effect, the sacred was trampled under the feet of men. Innocent, precious, unborn life trampled. Marriage trampled. Sexuality and sexual practices and gender trampled. People depending upon another form of support and putting their trust in the wrong source, like Pharaoh or Caesar, that power lost ground. Satan lost a lot of ground and he came unglued. He went ballistic. And he started attacking everything sacred. The accuser of the brethren worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to get people accusing one another. Totally deceptive, misrepresenting the truth. But we have actually watched the enemy lose some ground. We have seen the importance and value of life in so many ways restored, the importance of the freedom of worship and religion, even in the public square, in school, praying. Many things have happened to give the church of the living God, the body of Christ, those who know Christ, the opportunity to share, not just in declaration or proclamation, but in a demonstration of the love of God and the truth of God effectively working in their own lives freely in the market, in the public place. And that's something God wants. That's what freedom gives us. That's what this nation has blessed us with. Because of the principles, the foundation principles upon which the nation was established, and the foundation upon which we must stand to stand securely. Well, we've seen an all-out attack. So, James, you just said a moment ago, as Romans 8:28 declares, all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Betty, he didn't say all things are good.
No, he didn't.
He said he works them for good. Mm-hmm. Let me just read the scripture passage in Romans 8, starting at verse 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, let's understand this. It works together for whom? To those who love God, who know they're called according to his purpose. What purpose is that? His kingdom purpose through the life of every believer, the body of Christ, through the church, against which the effects and gates of hell are not to prevail. I believe that the church in the last years has begun to take back the turf, the garden of God that the enemy has trespassed, trampled, planted briars and tares in the midst of all the fruitfulness of God to destroy the effect. I believe the enemy has lost that grip. And I'm telling you, like I said a moment ago, he's gone ballistic. He's attacking with a fury that you must understand comes from the realm of darkness, of deception and destruction. We're not in a battle with Democrats or Republicans or some theological point of view. We're in a battle with the deceiver, with Satan himself, Lucifer, Beelzebub, the devil, the one who accuses everybody 24 hours a day. And have you ever seen national leadership accused continuously for so many years as you've been watching? How could any person or family take the continual assault against everything they do and always ignoring anything positive? Satan does not want us to acknowledge one positive thing that God accomplishes through his family. So be aware, this is the nature of the enemy. Now look what God says. God is saying to those of you who are called according to his purpose, that's those who, Betty, and we've said it many, many times, who understood, and you and I signed on. We didn't understand the fullness of it. But as teenagers, we signed on to lose our lives to find it in his kingdom purpose. We signed on. We didn't know the full extent of what that meant. Many of you said, I want to follow Jesus. But you didn't really realize what it means to totally lose your life continually for his kingdom purpose. But that means every day, every moment. And I'm praying the church will see more clearly we are here for kingdom purpose. He didn't leave us here to get us out of here. He left us here to bring him in the fullness of his glory and power in the yielded vessels of our lives. So he says, those he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Every pressure that comes is his shaping hand to shape us into vessels of honor, to conform us to the image of Jesus. Please get that. And then he tells us that he's called us, he's justified us, he's glorified us. Just read, that's verse 30. 31, he talks about the gift. 32, how he didn't spare his own son. He gave him to die for us. He now is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Jesus is praying for us. Seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. He's praying for you. He cares. Not only praying with you, he's praying for you. But then he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And we certainly know disease is not going to separate us from that love. For your sake, we're being put to death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him, through Jesus, who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Betty, that's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yes.
When we went through the trial of saying goodbye to a daughter that never for one moment believed she was going to leave, and as she left us a little after Christmas, nearly 8 years ago, only God and the peace that passes understanding could see us through.
It really, I mean, absolutely. I know that when that took place in our hearts and we felt that great loss, which we know, we will always feel that loss. We loved our daughter so much. God gave us three beautiful children, and now one of them was gone to be with him. And so that loss was there. But as our pain was there also, God was there, right in the midst of it all. The pain was there, but he was there. And that made the big difference in our hearts. As I lifted my heart to Him. I said, God, I need You. He said, I'm here. And He kept filling me with His love and His presence, with His Word, confirming that love and that He would never leave us nor forsake us. God wants to be that real in all of our lives. As we've gotten older, we have sensed that even more, the preciousness of that relationship with God. It is indescribable how much He wants to be a part of our lives. It's indescribable how much He wants to show us His love and wants His love to be shown through us. This is what I feel like you're trying to portray to the people, is God's love.
It is. It's indescribable, unconditional, redemptive love. You know, one of the things I've said, Betty, often, and I want to say it again, and I want to say it until you really get it. Now let this just soak in. Ask God to let you see an image of the reality and possibility and the importance. I said earlier, and I've said it more than once on Life Today and everywhere I speak or share with a group individually or in a place I'm preaching, God wants a family through which He blesses the families, yes, even the nations of the world. He says we're His body. And I referenced this earlier, but I want you to see it. He wants His body to come together in supernatural unity that Jesus prayed for in John 17. Read John 17. Give close attention. You know you're going to have a personal relationship with the Father. Jesus talks about that. It's not religion, it's relationship. You're going to be sanctified and shaped by the Scripture, not beat up with them. And you don't beat people up with them. But then I want you to look at where He began to pray that we would have a oneness with one another, the body of Christ, like He has with the Father, a supernatural unity. And then the world will know we're that family, we're the disciples, we're the body of Christ. What does He want to do? He wants to get His arms. He's got the whole world in His hands. Well, questionable. Does the world know that He wants to put His arms around them and all their pain and hurt and need through the body of Christ? It's only the body of Christ that can actually today get His arms around a world of hurt, a world of defeat, of sickness, a world of addiction, depression, anxiety, fear. Father, show every person listening, we can actually together and only together as a body of believers actually put our arms, Your arms, around the world You gave Your Son Jesus to redeem. And they can see that. You said they would see that when You're lifted up. You said You're lifted up in Your body, the church, that we can actually be a shining city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Let it be in Jesus' name. You're one member of this body. Would you say in the midst of all the trials and all the pressure, I'm yielding my life to the kingdom purpose of God to express His love all over the world freely. I want to be as faithful to fulfill my role by the divine designer that my heart is as it pumps faithfully and with every beat flows life throughout the entire body. I want to be that faithful. You know, one of the things I've seen with our supporters, Betty, they come here to behold the glory of the Lamb and people. They come here and they hear us talk about broken hearts and lives. And I've said it to you, amazing, you don't look away. You look at a need, you look to God, and you say, can I meet it? Right now, people are starving for spiritual truth and food. We do our best to flow it out continually and to support it all over the world. And when I say we, not just we here at Life Outreach, those of you who make it possible. But we also give fresh water and we give food to people who are starving. Many people say we're going to be in trouble if our income is cut. With us, because we are the lifeline, the love of God in action, saving lives. It isn't just a matter of our comfort or going on with our lifestyle that we face here in challenges. If we're unable to help the hungry, they die. And the only way we can help them is when people like you say, no matter what the challenge, we're going to help. I want you to listen to God's heart through a missionary, and then you do what God wants. And I'm confident you will.
I'm here with a lady called Vogel here in this village in South Sudan, and I actually don't even know where to start to begin to explain to you what this lady's been through. Five children that she had, but she's lost two of them. Two precious little children that have been stolen away because of something that is so simple and yet so significant, and that is the lack of food. We've asked her, what is it that you need most? And she said, more than anything else, more than shelter, more than anything, what I need is food for my children. I have to have food to feed my children. Almost with a level of panic. I'm appealing to you from the bottom of my heart to please help us do something for this lady and for the woman that she represents all over this area, women who are desperate for something called food. This lady lost two of her five children in just 1 month. Who'll be next? You see, we can't wind back the clock on the two children she's lost, but we can stop her from losing another one, because your gift is the gift of life.
I know you heard the missionary, Isaac. I feel like you heard the heart cry of that mother. And you know, with what we've been facing with this horrible virus, and any challenges, any disease, you want a cure. And there's excitement when we think we're making positive progress, but here's the situation. She lost two children. She has three more. We have perfect cure. It's food, but it can only be delivered in love. I want you to listen to the promise when we are in challenging times that God made to the Philippian church. Now take this as though it's you, the church today. Paul said in the fourth chapter of Philippians, he said, I know what it is to have plenty and to be without. And in all things, I can do all things through Christ. He sustains. But he said, now listen to me, Christians, in Philippi, and they were challenged. He said, you're the only, think about this. This is New Testament. This is Paul. You're the only church that sent to the need that I had in the challenges I faced. The only ones. Listen to what God said. This isn't from Uncle Sam. This isn't from the government. This isn't some person's promise. This is God's promise to you who respond to the need. I've received everything I need in abundance. I'm amply supplied. I received it from an individual sent by you. And my God, your God, my God is your God, shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That's not a promise from the government. That's not a promise from Congress. That's a promise from Almighty God. When you are moved by my spirit to put my arms of love around the suffering, those I gave my son to redeem, I will supply your needs. And I know what your needs are. Not always what you desire. I know what you need. I'm going to meet it, Father. Would you move on people's hearts today, however challenged they are, to realize I'm going to give the gift of life, food. And we're going to tell them about eternal life through Jesus, the bread of life. Their lives will be saved, and they're going to be saved for eternity because they're going to see your love in action. In Jesus' name. Would you go get your bank card, use it like a check or write a check, make it to life, call us and tell us you're mailing it. I'm praying God will give us the greatest miraculous outpouring of love we've ever seen, even in times of challenges. And we're going to give life in His name. Would you go online right now, please? Use that card, make the best gift you can. Or would you call that number and say, here's what I'm giving? Or put it in the mail. We have some gifts to send you to encourage you in your life, in your spiritual walk, and to build you up. Thank you so much for sharing life right now. Thank you.
Mission Feeding began with a promise to be there in times of crisis for thousands of hurting and hungry children in their time of need. Now more than ever, we need your help to save lives by feeding and caring for children across the continent of Africa. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish our supplies to reach the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Your gift of love can be the miracle answer to a desperate mother's prayer. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Global Impact of Life Journal. This softcover journal includes pictures from the mission field and inspiring scriptures as a reminder of your impact in giving to bless lives around the world. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Global Impact Bible. This English Standard Version presents a fascinating guide to the impact of the best-selling book of all time, filled with quotes from well-known figures, photographs, and reproductions of fine art. It highlights the many surprising ways Scripture has shaped civilization. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I pray that if you're trying to call, you've got a busy, you'll be determined and say, I'm getting through. And I pray you'll be with us all week. Tomorrow, I'm going to show you God's promise, no matter what happens. I am going to bless you. I'm going to make up to you for the years the enemy has tried to rob. Don't miss it. Tell your friends to watch. Not let one thing the enemy throws at us get us off track.
Offering hope to the church standing together tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.